Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, Jacob's Well. Have a seat in the dirt. That is what we are talking about these days. We are talking about being in the dirt, that good place where good things grow. And thank you, you guys. That was a pretty amazing job on that. So good morning, Jacob's Well. It's great to see you all here today. I'm Greg, pastor, and it is really good to be here. You guys just have no idea. So thank you for being here today. You can pull out your outlines to the back of your Sunday paper, follow along if you wish to do that. I think it's awful and a helpful thing to do. And kids, if you're here, and by the way, you may notice there's a little extra energy that I probably am not responsible for in the room today. And so we welcome all of you kids with us this morning and have fun. Kids table, do what you need to do. Parents, there is a wiggle pond down the hall and to the right if you need that. Kids, I think you got one of these flowers when you came in. If not, go see Chris over there. I bet he's got them. He'll find them. And decorate these, all right? We'll be talking about what to do with it as my message goes on, but feel free to color it in, make it look fancy. We're going to be decorating the wall with these wonderful growing things that come from seeds that get buried in good dirt. So have fun with that, kids. Parents, you might notice you got a flower kind of like it on your Sunday paper as well. So what are we talking about today? What if I told you that there was something that you could have that is the closest thing you could have to a guarantee that life would turn out okay for you? I mean, it's better than having a huge income. I mean, who wouldn't like that? But at the same time, we know how that can backfire on us, right? It's better than great health insurance or eating right or exercising regularly, all good things to do. But last I checked, death rate among people who do those things is 100%, just like the people who don't do them, all right? It's better than living in the right neighborhood. Even the best gated community can't keep the real world out. It's better than going to the right school because I think we all know it's not what you get, it's what you do with it. So, you know, it's really better than any of that stuff. And what if I told you that this was something that anyone could have if they wanted it, and if I told you that this thing that I'm talking about is being spiritually mature? So, oh, geez, Greg, that's boring. Yeah, you know, maybe it sounds like it, but it is the only thing that can deliver it. It's the only thing that can say that you could have peace even when your world is upside down. It's the only thing that says that when you never get noticed for anything, you could still feel fulfilled. It's the only thing that can say when life gets turned upside down and everything is not going well, that you could still have this sense of joy in your life. In fact, it can even take the fear out of death. And that is being spiritually mature. It's frankly the simplest thing in the world. And you are innately capable of it, which is something a lot of us don't think we can. We think spiritual maturity is only something that's available to mystics or people with great intellectual ability and stuff like that. And that's not true. This is something you naturally do. God created you. And when I say God created you, that is not a science statement. That's an identity statement, okay? When I say God created you so that you could grow spiritually, that means that you are hardwired to take all the components of yourself and put them together, along with glimpsing this vision of God's view of yourself and your life and your world, and you can put that all together. It's like putting a seed in the ground. It just naturally grows. You can see that definition of spiritual growth that we've been working with on the right side of your outline there on the Sunday paper. And I think this is true. And that's a story that this parable that Jesus told is all about, okay? We've been working with this for 4 weeks now. And what he did is tell a story, a parable we call it, about a sower who goes out and sows seeds, scatters seeds over the ground so that they could grow and they could bear fruit. And they do, except there are some things that get in the way. So Jesus' parable talks about seeds that fell on the path, seeds that fell on, among stones, seeds that fell among weeds that wouldn't let the seeds do what they were supposed to do. What he was talking about with that story is spiritual growth. He's telling us we grow naturally, but we have habits that that keep it from happening. That's the path he's talking about. We also have some good intentions that we just never act on. That's the stones that we get the seeds thrown among. We also have distractions in our life that make us focus on things that don't really matter and displace the things that do really matter. And those are the weeds that choke out our spiritual growth. So finally, after going through these three negative examples, he finally gets to the positive example. He talks about the good soil, seeds that fall among the good soil. So I want to just read that part of the parable for you. If you pop into that next slide. Jesus is speaking. He says, a sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some seed fell into good soil. That's the fourth part. And when it grew, it produced 100-fold. As Jesus said this, he called out, let anyone who has ears listen. That means, I'm saying something I want you to pay attention to, okay? Hopefully everything Jesus said was worth paying attention to, but this was like, get this, all right? And he goes on, because everybody says, what the world was that all about? He says, okay, I'll explain it to you. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. As for the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patient endurance. So, folks, we are all good soil. Good soil isn't just one of four kinds of people. He's talking about parts of all of our lives that are in all of us. We all have some packed down parts of our life where we get stuck in our habits. We all have some rocky spots full of good intentions that we never act on. We also, you know, have weed patches that are full of distractions. But we also have good and rich soil that hears God speaking in many and various ways, and consciously and unconsciously, our hearts resonate with it and stuff starts sprouting. My guess is that every one of us had an experience with all four of those this morning already. And I really do believe that good soil is alive in all of us. It's probably the reason that you're here today, even if maybe it wasn't what actually motivated you on this particular morning. But I think that is, you know, why we connect with this. But Jacob's well isn't the only place that God uses to help you grow. But it is what we are about. In fact, maybe a really easy and simple way to say what Jacob's well is that we are a community that helps each other be good dirt. You know, we try to help each other be the kind of soil where God can put things to work and it actually happens and it changes this world. It makes it a better place for ourselves and for other people. Before we started Jacob's Well, which was about 9 years ago, we knew that something had to be done. I had talked to so many people. I've been living in South Minneapolis for 15 years at that time. And I had talked to so many people that were just like me. And they had all the same issues, all the same questions. They were thinking all the same things that I was. But there was something missing in their life. And as I talked to people, one of the things that I consistently heard is a thing that you've probably all heard a million times. In fact, you've very likely said it yourself. And that is, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I'm spiritual, but not religious. I get it. I mean, I understand that. I mean, I'm kind of there myself. I am there myself. Why? I mean, it's not like religion is bad, but religion, for so much of us, it represents the institution that wants us just to be part of it for its own sake. It's a set of rules and behaviors and beliefs and traditions that probably all rose up for wonderful reasons and probably still function for those reasons in many places and many ways today. But for a lot of us, they just represent stuff that no longer makes sense. It isn't what, when we look at our world and we see what we need God to be about, and when we start having experiences with God and this presence beyond ourselves, it isn't about those religious things. So we want to be spiritual, but not religious. Here's what was missing. Is while people say they're religious, but they're spiritual, but not religious, what I was finding is that their spirituality wasn't doing anything for them. It was leaving them empty. Nothing was happening in their lives because of it. They wanted to be spiritual, but their spirituality wasn't going anywhere. It wasn't growing. And the reason, from what I could pick up from listening to people, was this. Their spirituality was unfocused, it was unconnected, and it was uncommitted. That's what I want to talk about today. It wasn't going anywhere. You know what this is all about. You know those feelings. I know what that feeling of being unfocused, unconnected, and uncommitted too. You know, we're busy. We dabble. We try everything. We buy a book and we maybe read it, but we talk about it anyway because we heard the interview on NPR and we know all about it, right? You know, we watch a TED Talk or a movie and we get all inspired, and that's like really meaningful for us a little while, but we don't have a larger context to put it in, and so it all gets lost when we move on to something else. We take a class. We maybe take a bunch of classes, and it's cool, but we're not quite sure how it all fits. We don't know what to do with it, and it too disappears, and life goes on, and it just keeps happening. We have things that we invest in greatly that we really engage in. Maybe it's our job, maybe it's our families, it's our relationships, it's our hobbies and things like that. All good stuff that we want to be life-giving, and sometimes they are, but a lot of times they feel like they just drag us down. You know what life is like because of this fact that we're unfocused and unconnected and unengaged is that it's like we're driving the car of our lives with our foot on the gas pedal, making all kinds of noise as we push really, really hard, but the car's in neutral. And so we're making a lot of noise and not going anywhere. And we can do better. What we need to do is engage that gear. All right, we got to put it in drive. And I think that's what this is all about. Good soil is soil where we are engaged. We're engaged with God, engaged with one another. We're engaged with learning. And I think that engagement happens through these three things. It happens through being focused, it happens through being connected, and it happens through being committed. Let me talk about that a little bit. On your outlines, you're going to find this. It says, when I am engaged, I am, and the first one is, I'm focused. Let me talk about that focus, okay? Basically, what that means is, you can learn from anything, but you cannot learn from everything. There's just too much everything out there. We've got to have a way to sort through that. You know, it just overwhelms us. In our world, we are all so full of options that we have this tendency to be a mile wide and an inch deep. And that does not create the kind of life that really helps us and gives us what we need and what's going to equip us for all the challenges that are there in life. So we need focus. I need focus. Now this is important, okay? I'm like, Jesus, if you have ears to hear, listen, okay? The focus of Jacob's well is built upon the God who we discover in this book, okay, in the Bible, and through the man Jesus. Now, if you have been around much, that's not a surprise to you. You know that's what we're about. But, lest you think it just stops there. Like, that's the only thing we're interested in. We're not going to do anything but read the Bible and study and think about Jesus. You're wrong. Because, and this is, that's not how focus works. And in fact, that's the next feeling on your outline, on that line, is that when I'm engaged, I am focused, but I am not narrow. All right? I'm not narrow. This focus is like a lens. It isn't blinders on us that won't let us see anything else. It's a lens that helps us, what, see things that we are looking at more sharply and more clearly so that they have meaning for us and they help us understand and deal with our larger part of the world. This focus is also, it's like a key. Not a key to a door to lock it so that we aren't exposed to things, but a key to doors to open them, to a door of understanding. So that we begin to know how to deal with all of this information and all the ideas that come our way. Now, you'll see there's a question there. It says, I can focus on your Sunday paper. There's also, you got your own version of flower. You can write stuff in there. Kids, if you got this, and this is kind of a big project. It might be something mom, dad, brothers, sisters, aunt, uncles, whoever you're here with, that you may want to work on at home. But what are some of the things that you think your focus can be on? Right, you know, pick out a couple petals on your flower, this thing that God is growing in your life, and write them in there. I think they're not a bad project for us to be thinking about. So for me, I'll answer the question. My focus in terms of my spiritual growth, kind of this ultimate foundational part of myself, is, I guess not real surprising, pretty similar to Jacob's well since I started this place, and that's my pitching mound. But it's on the God I know and discover in this book. And Jesus, who is God's, you know, presence among us. And as I've done that, as I focus that way, what I found is that my focus gets sharper and sharper and more helpful and more helpful. Not narrower and narrower, but makes my life and the world around me more clear and more distinct. And what I'm discovering is that the God that is my focus is not just a God, but a loving God. and that Jesus isn't just the Son of God come to earth to pay for my sins or something like that, but Jesus is God's vulnerable presence in and among us, helping us figure out what life is all about and showing us what life really means. And the Bible is not an answer book, but it's really an invitation to wrestle with some of the great conversations with countless of generations of people so that we can begin to understand what is going on in our world in our day today. And we can begin to discover the heart of God and each other. And that focus has not only allowed me, but has actually led me to learn from other things. So that I am learning from Hinduism, and I am learning from science how God works and what God has to speak to me today. I learn from gardening, I learned from sailing, believe it or not, I even learned from you. I certainly learned from Isaiah a little few minutes ago, and I'll have to say something about that on Facebook. Hold on, wait for that one. So the question is, what is your focus, all right? And what can it help you discover about the world? I think it's a helpful thing to think about. Second, when I am engaged, I am connected. When I am engaged, I am connected. Now, you can learn a lot of things by studying them on your own, okay? I realize that. But the stuff that we are talking about, the stuff that God is leading to you, the stuff of real life, is really bigger than anything you're going to be able to handle on your own. Yeah, sure. You know, there are our own personal spiritual experiences. There are moments and there are challenges that you're going to have to face on your own. But in the long run, we are about talking about stuff that changes our lives. And we not only need the support and the encouragement and the accountability of other people, but, I mean, we just would never know it all ourselves. And we need to be able to share what we're doing with other people. There's an organization that's actually based here in Minneapolis called Search Institute that supplies research information dealing mainly with children and teens through the whole country, actually around the world. And one of the things they do is they look at assets of children is that they have found that kids who don't have 10 adults, not related to them, 10 adults who know them for their own sake, and like when they meet them, they would strike up a conversation and talk to them for their own sake. Teens that don't have those 10 people are much less likely to succeed in emerging into a healthy adulthood afterwards. We need each other. We need other people that care about us and know about us. If you've ever come to one of our Get to Know Jacob's Well gatherings, you probably heard us talk about this. We will tell you that if you have been part of Jacob's Well for 6 weeks, and you don't know six people that you're eager to see and that they're happy to see you when you show up, you'll be gone within 6 months. Well, I mean, it's just plain true. I mean, you might love the message. Of course, you all love the message. Nod. You might like the music. You might like the vibe, all that stuff. But the fact is you need the community. And all that other stuff doesn't work if it doesn't boil down into relationships. We need each other. God wired us that way. That's how we go through life. It's a great story I heard a couple of days ago. Little Nolan Ritchie, what is he, like 3 years old? So he's in the kids program. He went to the G4 thing last week, and he went up to his middle school crew leader after not seeing him for a whole 6 days and walks right up to him with his big smile and says, "Did you miss me?" You know, aw, cute. You know, that's almost as good as a cat picture. We need to be missed. We need to miss other people. I mean, that's wonderful. I mean, can I be honest? If you are not connected here, you aren't going to be missed. And that's really sad because we need to know each other enough to miss one another. In fact, you know, that's a fill-in on your outline there is, and this is an important distinction. When I am engaged, I'm connected, but I'm not a club. This isn't a club. You aren't here to, you know, learn the secret handshake or be an insider versus an outsider, or for us all, you know, be nice and cozy. I mean, we are here to be equipped for the world. These relationships, these connections are to help us so that we can be independent when we need to be independent, so that we can be Jacob's Well out in the world even more than we're Jacob's Well when we gather together. And that's pretty important stuff. So there are people here, honest, there are people here who really can care about you and are ready and willing to be there for your life where you need it. And there are going to be people here, too, that you are going to want to do that for in really healthy, wonderful ways. One of the real privileges of being a pastor of a place, of a people like this, is that I hear these amazing stories from people, And the most common story I hear is how this community has been those kinds of connections, those kinds of relationships, those kinds of people for one another. That is amazing. You guys are amazing. So you need to be connected, all right? If you're having trouble getting traction with your faith, you say, I want this stuff to matter, and I think I try to do stuff, but really it isn't adding up. I'm not getting anywhere with it. Maybe you're just trying to do it on your own. Get connected. If you know, connection's not only here, but if you want to get connected here, how do you do it? We have this appreciation party going on after the service. Talk to people. You know, if you're not sure what, or if you just want help, just write on your communication card, can you help me get connected? Just write connected on your communication card. We'll be in touch and see what we can do to help you out on that. So on your question there on your star, who are some people or some groups that you are connected to in ways that really bring you life? And not just on a superficial level, but on a level where you feel I can engage them in what, you know, whether you're using God language to these people or not, but you're engaging them with in ways where God's vision of your life and of our world is becoming a part of the story. All right. When I am engaged, I'm focused, I'm connected, and I'm also committed. That's what I talk about. I'm committed. Again, this is a no-brainer, isn't it? If you make no investment, you get no return. It's just as simple as that. Jesus laid this right out there. He had all these wonderful, cozy things to say, like he invited us to take up our crosses and follow him. Okay, sounds like a picnic. He told us that the first would be last and last would be first. He told us that if we put our hand to the plow and turned back, that we weren't fit for the kingdom of God. I mean, yeah, a lot of that needs a little bit of interpretation and pulling out of 2,000 years ago context. But basically what he's saying is that this stuff matters, guys. I mean, you can dabble all you want, but you really need to make a commitment to this if you want it to have benefits, if you want it to actually grow in your life, if you're going to be engaged with it. Someone who's committed to running and runs 4 days a week has different results than a person who runs once in a while. It's the difference between doing something when you feel like it and doing something with a purposeful plan behind it that you actually carry out. You may call the difference between those discipline. Discipline. It's good for us. In fact, when we start getting into it, we like it because of what it brings into our lives. Growing and maturing in such a way that you are aligned with God and life and the world so that it starts making sense to you doesn't happen on a when it feels like a basis. I wish it did, but it really doesn't. To really make progress, to get that car in gear so that your foot on the foot feet actually takes you someplace, yeah, we need to do this. Again, I'm not talking about you have to do this, you have to be disciplined in order for God to love you. God loves you. That's not the question. The question is, are you going to let God's love actually start delivering what God wants to do in your life and through your life? So that's important stuff. But realize, and this is the second half of that line on your outline, when we are engaged, we're committed, but that does not mean that you are obligated, all right? That's a fill-in. So here's the skinny on this. If investing what is the most valuable to you, which is what God asked from us, your time, your energy, your relationships, your money, if investing those things feels like a have-to for you rather than a get-to, then you are in the land of obligation rather than commitment. Then you are, dealing with duty that you feel like you've got to fulfill rather than this opportunity that God wants to give you and that you start finding the benefits from. And if that is what it's like for you, what I can say is I think it's time to back off from those obligations and to reassess both what you're doing and why you're doing it and start making some commitments that you feel are true opportunities and that you feel are bringing you and helping you understand what is going on in your world and in your life. A couple of things about that. First of all, when I'm talking about commitment, I'm not just talking about Jacob's well, right? Your commitment to God is more than what we do as an organization, a lot more than what we do as an organization. So these commitments go way beyond who we are as a community here. But we do tend for Jacob's Well to be a movement, not an institution, but a movement that can embrace your growth. In fact, we wouldn't have started it in the first place if we didn't believe that your investment here in this community would help you be that good dirt that God wants seeds to be in, and that's going to, what? Produce fruit 100-fold. So that is what we want to be about and what we really believe it can be about. So no, that's true. That's also why we try not to lead you into committing to do things or trying to get you to do things here that aren't really purposeful, that don't really make a difference. That's why we run a very lean shop. And if you look at our schedule, our calendar, you'll find that it's almost embarrassingly empty. Because we don't want to keep you just busy with activities. You've got good stuff. God's calling you. You know, your life is busy being Jacob's Well out there without us even knowing what you're doing. We trust that. We believe that. We want you to be doing that. We want to keep out of the way from that as an organization so you can be doing it personally. Second, this kind of commitment and what we get from it doesn't happen overnight. It just doesn't. You often have to make commitments and live with them for a long time before you find the fruit come out of them. We planted our tomatoes 3 weeks ago. It'll be August before we're eating off of them. But the commitment is worth it, all right? It's going to be there. We need to wait for it. Jesus ended this parable by saying that the good stuff comes by those who wait with patient endurance. We need to remember that. We're not in a real patient society. We want instant gratification. It takes time. Maybe that's why we need to be community, to help each other hang on for the long run while we wait for all this stuff to work. But it does. It happens naturally. And, you know, one of the things that's true about this is I can tell you how to mature spiritually. I can. It's really not that hard because it's something you do naturally. So I can teach you how to mature spiritually. What I can't do is teach you how to mature spiritually quickly. It doesn't happen quickly. It takes time, and it never, ever ends, which is actually good news. So that's that. Okay, third, your commitment isn't only for your sake, but it's for the sake of others. The truth behind that with us as a community is Jacob's Well isn't only here for you, but you are here for it, all right? Nolan, that little guy who said, "Did you miss me?" He needed that middle schooler to miss him. And that middle schooler, I bet you he told that story more than anyone else because there's some little kid who thinks he's a superhero. And it made him feel like he's got a purpose and a reason and he's got, you know, something that he can give to someone else. That was important for him as well. What you do with, as Jacob's Well, in serving and in so many ways, and we're appreciating those today, is amazing. The participation rate of people being involved with ministry just, and with this community, just knocks my socks off. But we all know that there's always, you know, some people who carry more weight than they should and some people who are spending more time on the sidelines than we should. And it's not about judging. It's not about evaluating that. But it's all about saying, what is God calling me to do? And where can I do it in a way that is life-giving for me and life-giving for others? So we're about doing that. We have this concept called M&M here, where we all have a mission in the world beyond the church. But we also have a ministry within the church. How has God called us to make Jacob's Well be Jacob's Well? Because the truth is, this community is incomplete without you. So find that, discover it, enjoy it. It's good stuff. So again, on your flower, I can tell I totally have the kids' attention on this. So. Where are the places that you can commit so that you stay engaged with God? What are the commitments that you can make, maybe that you are making, that help you stay engaged with God? And it's, you know, not only like big public ones with Jacob's Well. It might be personal things. It could be the soap. It could be a personal quiet time. It could be the daily exam that you'll find on your Sunday paper that we've been doing recently. It might be something you totally do on your own. Maybe it's maybe that commitment to you right now is the way you're treating other people in your life, some leniency and some love that you usually have trouble getting through. But this focus or this commitment can change from time to time. Okay, so now I admit this is a big ask. And I'm asking a lot from you by expecting you to engage with God through focus and through connection and through commitment. But I wouldn't do it if I didn't think it made a difference. I'm not asking you to make your focus or your connections or your commitment be to religion, all right, but to God. Not to Jacob's Well, but hopefully Jacob's Well, through your experience, says that this is a great place to exercise some of that in ways that really are meaningful and even transformative for you. but to be doing it all in a sense where you feel that God is at work growing things in your life and that you are making a difference in this world. It's asking a lot, but the stakes are high, so do it. So the last piece here, Jesus wound up that parable. You may have realized it already, but by telling us why he wants us to do all this stuff. Why grow spiritually? And it isn't because God just wants us to be spiritually mature. God wants us to be spiritual giants. Frankly, that in itself isn't important. It's because people that mature spiritually do what? They bear fruit. That's what Jesus is after. That's what God is looking at for you and from you. I don't know if you've read the newspaper or listened to the news recently, but this world needs God's love in some real and tangible ways. And it's going to happen because you and I are doing it. We're sharing it. We're letting God's love take root in our lives, and we are being changed, and we can't help but to spread that out in the world around us. You are God's hands. You are God's feet. We all are. We are God's voice. We are God's heart, and this world needs it. So let's be engaged. Let's be that good soil and help each other be dirt, rich, wonderful, soft, moist dirt in which God does wonderful things and grows great crops. Would you join me in prayer? God, you're with us right now. You are in work in every person here, every one of us, no matter how skeptical we are or not, no matter how good or worthy or talented we think we are, you know that every one of us is good soil, good dirt, good places to sow your love. Help us to put aside the things that stunt our growth. Help us to be the people that your love takes root in and brings forth fruit 100-fold. We ask this of you, the one who loves us just because you love us, just because you love us. Amen.